We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. My name is Steven and I am the host as always. And joining me on a Saturday morning is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. I've mostly gotten over the whole thing. Friday was tough for sure. I kind of just, you know, had the 1,000-yard stare for most of the day, but, you know, we're good. It's a new day. It's a start of a new week. We have potential signings coming up. Denzel Perryman, potentially. Puna Ford did sign, so there's enough to get me distracted at least.
Yeah, 100%. I guess Friday was good timing for me. So we had like a college event for our students at a different school site, and that school site has terrible Wi-Fi. So like I was not able to get on Twitter basically like the entire day after the morning. So that was good for me to be able to just go to work and like focus on work and make the main thing, obviously. And had a good day with our students doing a college event that day. So it was a good distraction. Obviously we did an immediate reaction of sorts, to the Keenan Allen trade. Today we're going to provide more analysis, I think, into kind of the finality of the trade and kind of why the Chargers might have done it and how they, advance from here, how they move on from here. So we're going to talk about all of that. We're going to talk about the other signings that the Chargers have made as well as could make. So we're going to talk about the second wave of free agency. We're going to do a little bit of an interactive like depth chart analysis, if you will, of the Chargers. So should be a fun conversation. There was a lot to come out today about Keenan Allen because he had his introductory press conference in Chicago. And I think like we can kind of evaluate the trade as it came down. Finally, going forward. So, according to Diana Rossini, as well as the Bears writer for The Athletic, I forget his specific name, so I apologize there. But essentially, the trade for Keenan Allen came down to the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. The New York Jets they poked around. I saw the Patriots poked around too, but essentially, the Texans and the Bears were the two main bidding teams. The Texans were offering a 2025 third round pick and a 2024 pick swap. And then that's when the Bears came in with pick 110. So just from a pure trade evaluation, I think there's a bit of a misconception out there. The Chargers, in terms of a veteran wide receiver trade, actually made out here pretty well. If you look at a lot of the other wide receiver trades that have happened over the last couple of seasons, you know, it's like Amari Cooper for a fifth and a sixth rounder. Brandon Cooks was like a sixth and a seventh rounder. Stuff like that is how you're generally seeing that veteran wide receiver trade market pan out. And so the Chargers getting pick 110, I think is good value relative to a veteran wide receiver trade. So you get a pick that's very close to the top 100. It's at the beginning of the fourth round. So again, the Chargers will have some good ammunition there in the fourth round. So I wanted to discuss the pure trade here and kind of what kind of value the Chargers could be getting really out of this trade with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, so there was some immediate reaction to, well, they could have gotten a third. They should have gone for the third. And next year, that third is worth more than whatever a fourth could be in that same year. But the pick next year, whatever it is, whatever pick it is next year, is it worth around less than this year's pick? So it really was either or. You take the fourth round pick this year, or you take the third rounder next year, which is really just worth a fourth rounder this year. So the value is about even. And some Chargers fans have pointed out, we expect the Texans to be good. I really do like the Texans this year. They've made some really good moves, have a strong coach and foundation and quarterback. And so, you know, the Bears picking at 110 this year and that selection versus where the Texans would pick, we assume at the end of the third round. And then, of course, there's comp picks too. Like, it's not a huge difference. Of course, a third rounder next year is higher than a fourth rounder next year, but it's not. That's not how we're comparing it. It's fourth rounder this year, third rounder next year. So I thought that was fine. The trade compensation itself is not the issue. I've seen some argue that he should have gotten a second or should have gotten a third this year. That is, and that would have been great, of course. But we did a preview of, you know, trades around the league that kind of fit this, and it's not trading for like a superstar in his prime. You know, like Justin Jefferson, if they traded for him, if someone traded for him, it's multiple firsts and so much to get him. Yeah. But when we were looking at trades, it was, as you mentioned, like Julio Jones, you know, in prime-ish, you know, 2021 second and a fourth, Amari Cooper, fifth round pick, Robbie Anderson, fifth round pick, younger, cheaper, et cetera. Brandon Cooks with a fifth and a sixth. So like a fourth is fine. That's not really the issue here. And they also obviously keep him out of the AFC and out of an AFC team that is going to be a contender. Like, I think the Texans are one of these four best teams in the AFC. I think they got to prove some things, of course, but they are primed to be a really good team this year. So keeping them out of the AFC, great. Getting solid compensation, great. As far as that part of it goes, it's solid for them.
Yeah, I would have been a fan of him in Houston, honestly. I as a casual fan, I love watching CJ Stroud play football. I think the Texans are on the rise. So that would have been fun as a guy, you know, maybe more of a better fit for him as well, just in terms of the offense. But, you know, him going to the NFC, I think, was probably part of the reason here. And then the Bears came back with that pick 110. So that's a big part of it as well. So for those of you who might have missed the situation that unfolded, obviously the Chargers seem to have approached after the Mike Williams trade, they approached basically the other three and said, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to do a pay cut? Are you willing to do a restructure? And the other two edge rushers obviously accepted the pay cut, and Keenan Allen did not. And so that led to the trade. There's a lot of misconceptions going around on social media. That does not equate to Keenan Allen decided to move on. The Chargers still could have extended him. They still could have kept him on the existing contract. It was the Chargers' choice to then trade him after the pay cut was not agreed upon. So it's the Chargers' right to have that kind of action result based off of the conversation. It's Keenan Allen's right, as he said today, he just had his best season of his career. He just broke the franchise record for receptions. It was well within his rights to say, I'm not taking a pay cut. I know my value here. I know you need me here. And, you know, it's well within his rights. So I don't think anybody should blame Keenan Allen. I don't think anybody should go after him saying that he's a selfish player or not a team player. He was well within his rights to say, I do not want to accept this pay cut. I believe in myself. I believe in my value to this team. And, you know, the trade is the trade, but anybody going after Keenan today, I think is going about this the wrong way, in my opinion.
Yeah, this, feel free to unfollow, unsubscribe, block me, whatever. If you are going after Keenan Allen for his character, he's taken a restructure before, if I'm not mistaken. And frankly, doesn't need to. I mean, this is a guy who's been with the team since 2013.
Yeah.
One of the best players in Chargers history, just had a really great season, would have played more games at the end of the year had they had anything to play for. and had Herbert been on the field and healthy, it was a lost season. So he had an excellent season. He had every right to say, no, why would I take a pay cut? Frankly, yes, it is great that Khalil Mack decided to and Joey Bosa, I guess. But we talked about Joey. Like, I'm not sure what else he would have gotten on the open market if he had hit free agency. Like, what is that contract? Not as good as the one he probably had with the Chargers. So I just miss me with the insinuation that he's not a team player. Like, I've seen a lot of things like, oh, he doesn't fit the Harbaugh way. And they were like, well, if you don't fit our system, you can get out. Like, I don't really see that having been the case, especially with Jim Harbaugh talking so glowingly about Keenan Allen before this. I mean, he was one of the names that was mentioned consistently as like, wow, Keenan Allen, stars on the team, you know, Herbert, Derwin, et cetera. So just miss me with the Keenan Allen slander. I get that maybe, you know, a lot of people are more like team first, organization first, but this is Keenan Allen. This is one of the best players we've ever had the privilege to watch. One of the best players on the Chargers as recently as last year. I don't think we should tell him to, you know, not let the door hit his ass on the way out. Like, I think we should handle this with a bit more respect given who he is.
Yeah, 100%. This is a guy who maybe he's not on the Mount Rushmore of Chargers players all time, but he's very much in that conversation. This is a guy who is, in my opinion, you know, I didn't watch Lance Allworth, obviously, very different game back then. I respect his legacy too, but Keenan Allen is the best wide receiver in franchise history to me. And this is a guy who deserves to have the right to say, I don't want to take a pay cut. And Keenan Allen has worked with the team in the past. I mean, after his injuries, he very well could have left and played and bet on himself and been able to, you know, go play for a different team. You know, instead, he took a cheap contract with the Chargers and gave them 2017, 2018, 2019, three of the best wide receiving seasons in franchise history. And then it just kind of, you know, went from there. I loved like looking at all of the pictures. I was about to go, you know, I tweeted out like a thank you message, right? And like, I just loved going through the messages of him with Rivers and Gates and him with Malcolm Floyd and then him with Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams, Melvin Gordon, and then obviously with Justin Herbert and all of these guys. And it just, he's a staple, right, of the last 10 years. And I think I understand like some of you have moved on. I get it. But this is a guy who deserves our respect. This is a guy who deserves to be treated in a professional manner. And I think the Chargers did that. I think Keenan Allen did that. I think we as fans should also do that. So if you've moved on and you're ready to start the new era, good for you. This is arguably one of the five best players in Chargers history. And I think just because he decided not to take a pay cut doesn't mean that he's a terrible human being and is a selfish player and bad teammate and all that stuff. Could not be further from the truth. I mean, if you listen to any wide receiver, any quarterback, running back over the last 10 years, you know, Keenan Allen has gone way out of his way to make sure that those young players have been able to take something from him. I mean, listen to Josh Palmer talk about Keenan Allen and how much reverence and respect he has for Keenan Allen and his work ethic and things like that. So if you believe that he's selfish and a bad teammate, you are not living in reality, in my opinion. And this is a guy who has well deserved the right to be one of the best Chargers ever. This is a guy who has put everything he possibly could have into the Chargers, and he deserves our gratitude for everything that he's done for the team, everything that he continues to do for the team on and off the field. So you can move on. I'm not saying you can't move on, but let's respect the man. Let's respect the player that he was and the kind of talent that he gave to the Chargers.
Yeah. And listen, you can be on either side of the argument and discussing, you know, was it a good move? Was it a bad move? I think I disagree with the move, but I understand why they did it.
Sure.
And great. Like, believe it or not, you can operate in the middle. Let's just not do the personal attack thing. That's all I'm saying here.
Yeah, 100%.
You can have any opinion you want in the chat, on social media, whatever. I'm just saying the one thing you cannot be doing is slandering Keenan Allen on the way out. That to me is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm on the same page there. Okay, so let's discuss how the Chargers move on from here. Obviously, we're sad to see Keenan go, but this is the NFL. Business is business. You have to move on from here. So the wide receiver room in particular, Tyler, there's not a ton of options out there, but from a general philosophical sense, how would you like to see them handle the wide receiver position going forward without Keenan, no Mike Williams? We know Josh Palmer's a good player, but he's often injured. Quentin Johnston didn't have a great rookie season. So from a philosophical sense, how would you go about handling the wide receiver position in particular?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time with the blinking cursor on my screen trying to figure out which receiver the Chargers could add, like who fits. You know, I saw Gallup was released, etc. And after spending that much time thinking about it, honestly, my thought process is this. Don't sign anyone. Go to the draft. I think at this point, while I don't love the Chargers' current wide receiver room, this wide receiver class is very good to the point where I'm finding guys on day three that would have been day two picks last year. Like you were finding Marvin Mims kind of guys from last year in the late stages of this year's wide receiver class. It's that good. It's so good. Every receiver I've watched, I've at least liked. And that's not me trying to be like friendly. Like there are definitely prospects I have not liked before. I am through like 20 receivers at this point and I like them. And everyone says there's like 25 guys in the top 100 for receivers in this class. I mean, it's quite a class. Yeah. So to me, well, now that you've moved on from Keenan Allen, you have another fourth round pick, which you can use on, you know, obviously not a complete receiver falling to the fourth round, but a pretty solid option for you. You double dipped in the draft and that's your wide receiver core. You take someone in probably the first round, though I don't know for sure the Chargers will do that. But ignore free agency. Don't go spend money after getting rid of on a receiver, after getting rid of a receiver so you could free up some money. Now, I don't think it's like Higgins or anything or Boyd if they do. I think if they get a veteran, it's someone under $10 million. But to me, go to the draft. Go to the draft. It's a great class. It's a great draft to need wide receivers. I'm ignoring free agency altogether at this point.
I think that's fair. This, like you mentioned, this is a great wide receiver class. And in terms of the draft, like you mentioned, I think there's, you know, a very high end group. And we talked on the draft stream, like this is a first round of wide receivers that I think is unparalleled. Like this is one of the best wide receiver groups that I've studied. And that's not just because of Marvin Harrison Jr. Like to me, like a very good class has like a high end talent, and then you have a couple other first round grades in here. But this has three elite, like premier wide receiving talent prospects at the top. If the Chargers decided to trade down, I would understand it. You have other guys like Brian Thomas and Adonai Mitchell that are also first round talents, in my opinion. But then you get to the depth of this class, and like we did a Chargers mock draft on the team's channel a couple weeks ago, and we got to the second round, and it was like, okay, Ladd McConkey was there, Ricky Pearsall, Jalen Polk, Xavier Worthy. Like, this is a great day two class as well as a great day one class. So I'm excited about the wide receiver group. I'm not necessarily 100% with you on, like, ignore free agency, but I understand the approach. And I think if you double dip in the draft, I think that would make a lot of sense to me. What I don't want to see them do is to go out and spend on some older, you know, wide receiver that's very well past his prime. Like there's been a lot of Odell Beckham talk and Curtis Samuel and Tyler Boyd. Allen Robinson was mentioned in my mentions a couple days ago. Like to me, if you're going to go out and get a veteran, you're still looking for somebody that's still relatively young. Like one receiver that I think could make a lot of sense for them. He does have ties to the coaching staff is Paris Campbell, former Ohio State Buckeye and played with the Giants with Andy Bischoff. So he's somebody that could play the slot, take some snaps there. He's a yards after catch. He's a vertical threat. He's a role player for sure. But that's the kind of like wide receiver player that I'm targeting, somebody that's still in their mid-20s, still theoretically could have some upside to the table, more of a, I don't want to say dart throw, but, you know, that kind of bet on somebody who could, you know, bring more value than they've given to the league so far.
I guess my thing is like, what's this in terms of snap counts? What's the point? Unless the Chargers are going defense in the draft or center. Like if they want to go trade back corner, D tackle, center, tight end, then yeah, like you're definitely getting a veteran wide receiver. But to me, like not knowing that ahead of time, I just don't see where that person slots in if they're going to take a receiver or two, because Quentin's starting in some capacity as two or three. Sure. Palmer's starting. Let's say you get a Neighbors and you take another guy late. Like, I don't know what the point of another receiver addition would be at that point, other than flexibility in the draft. But to me, like, they've set themselves up with the moves they've made to be to just to take like wide receiver and feel good about that. So I don't know. I almost don't see the point. I get why, if that's not your goal in the draft, but I don't think it is. So I just don't really see the point.
No, I definitely don't see the point in like an older guy. Like, I think you're pouring your resources into Palmer Quentin and your first round pick, ideally first round pick or second round pick if they want to do that. I just think you do need some solid depth behind that trio, you know, and that's not just coming in the form of a fourth or a fifth round pick. So it's more about depth. It's more about finding a specific role and not being, you know, pinned into a corner in the second round. This Michigan Wolverine fan, like, bye.
Arjun, your burner doesn't fool me.
Yeah. So it's more of a depth signing. It's more of a take a chance signing than like trying to get a starter for me. Like, everybody is saying like you have to go out and get a starter. I think that comes in the way of the first or a second round pick. I just think they need more depth than the two young guys and then two draft picks as well. I think that's like, you do need some veteran presence in there, in my opinion.
I'm curious what then the Ravens or Harbaugh's wide receiver rooms have looked like. Do they carry more than six or more than five? Like, not that it can't change with the Chargers, but I'm just curious how many receivers do you carry? How many receivers do you carry when you run the ball a lot and you move through tight ends and running backs and play action? How many with three wide receiver sets do they run? Because if you go,
I want to say with the 49ers, it was five, and it was basically four plus the return specialist, which was Ted Ginn, I think.
Right. I don't know. Also, hey, someone said Alex Erickson is back, or is he just,
I think he's
back.
I think he's saying that he should come back, which honestly, man, Alex Erickson was pretty good in the little role that he had for the Chargers.
Yeah. Yeah. Not bad.
Okay, so the Chargers have made the Easton Stick signing official.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we'll have some time to dive into backup quarterback talk, but you can't take everybody away from Justin Herbert.
Well, if I had to tier who you take away, I don't.
100%, 100%.
But I get it. One player is going to be making $1 to $2 million. Versus 32. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. And I think for what it's worth, I think he's a much better fit in Greg Roman's offense as a backup than Kellen Moore's.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll actually be able to use his legs. So that's fun.
Cool.
Okay. So one of the other things that we wanted to dive into today is kind of the other moves here that the Chargers could make. So we're going to do a bit of a depth chart interactive segment, if you will. Before we dive in there, as you see on the screen, as we mentioned earlier, we are very happy with our relationship with Prize Picks. It is a great way to go and earn yourself some money. All you have to do is make an account and pick more or less than on some of your favorite players, and you can use it across sports. There's NFL and NBA specials from time to time. There's college basketball on there as well. I believe Major League Baseball is going to be a feature. I cannot confirm there, but I believe it's going to be. So it's a great product. It's super easy to use. It's a great way to earn money. Prize Picks is a great partner of the show, and we really appreciate them. So you can go to prizepicks.com/guilty and use the code guilty at checkout for a deposit match up to $100. So definitely encourage you to go do that. I see Tyler's mom in the chat, and she made a killing on Prize Picks during the season. So you can really have a great time using Prize Picks.
Yeah, it's an awesome service. Excited to have a new deal. They asked us to take a pay cut. No, I'm kidding. And I would have refused.
We said no.
We said no. We held strong. Can't trade us, unfortunately, so they're stuck with us. But no, Prize Picks is awesome. Had a ton of fun using that service, using the app. Super easy, super fun. My mom obviously enjoyed using it, but it's always a lot more fun when you're earning a ton of money, winning a ton of money on those Prize Picks options. So yeah, good stuff. Go check it out.
Yep, 100%. So speaking of Mama Shun, she had a super sticker earlier, as well as a super chat saying this is his job, Keenan. Who would take a 50% pay cut after producing like KA did? Hashtag know your worth.
Yeah, my mom is a... It wouldn't have been a 50% pay cut, obviously, but like it, whatever the pay cut restructure, et cetera, it was, I get it. And if anyone knows their worth, it is my mother. So I take her instinct and trust her gut on that one.
100%. And movie fan Z, Odunze in first round, Leggett in second or third. I don't know if the Chargers can afford to do wide, double dip a wide receiver that quickly, but I am a fan of these two players for sure.
Oh, yeah. And I am, we'll talk to Trevor Sikkema pretty soon, but I am curious now where the Chargers lean at wide receiver. Are they going for a type? What is their type? We're going to find out. And we'll, you know, I don't think that the Ravens have drafted an Odunze type recently, but that feels very more Chargers recently and Justin Herbert specifically. So we'll see. Again, it doesn't matter who we like. It's up to, obviously Zay Flowers is not Rome Odunze. Like that's very different as is.
Maybe Rashad Bateman.
That was my first thought too. Yeah. Not Hollywood Brown. Might have to look at Torrey Smith. He was a second rounder, but
Torrey's closer to like a burner speedster type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So last super chat here. We'll take some questions at the end today for what it's worth. Gary says, what do you think about the Minnesota trade and possible impacts on the Chargers? We're going to cover this with Trevor on Monday, which would come out on Wednesday, obviously. But the Vikings are very clearly moving up for a quarterback. It's just about where do they want to find that entry point? They have number 11 and number 23 now, which really is enough ammo to move all the way up to number 2. I don't know about number 1, but they could theoretically get up to number 2. Obviously could get up to number 5 with that. So it's going to be very interesting. Them and the Giants reportedly love J.J. McCarthy. So it's going to be fun. Should create a lot of drama on draft night.
Yeah, my only worry there is that, you know, we're assuming, hey, Ravens and Ortiz, they've traded with the Vikings quite a bit. There's a history there. The Chargers could do it. The Chargers are in a great spot. The Chargers are the trade-back candidate. I don't know 100% sure that they are going to trade with the Chargers, but I think it's going to be a bit of a wait and see. But they're getting a quarterback. Curious how far they move up. This feels very, I think it was the Eagles with Carson Wentz, where they were further back and they had to trade up two separate times heading up into the draft to get up there. So we'll see. As far as like the draft pick value, it's only really enough to get them to like the fourth-ish pick with Arizona.
Oh, okay.
So they'd be off by like 600. But that's that second overall pick. I mean, it's obviously worth a ton more at the top of the draft. So would be curious to see what they pull off there. But 11 and 23 would be an overpay in terms of moving up to 5. But the Chargers also do have like a new fourth rounder to use to throw back in there or something next year or whatever. So I did a mock draft today, like 5 minutes before we jumped on, traded back to 11 and 23. It's a fun spot to be in. It's a very fun spot to be in because that is... And that feels about right, too. I really do like that.
Yeah, because then you would have 11, 23, and 37. And that's three starters right there. You knock out a lot of needs. So that'd be a lot of fun. I still expect quarterbacks to go 1 and 2. I guess there's some kind of rumblings that the Patriots might be willing to trade out. The Cardinals might be willing to trade out. We know the Chargers are wanting to trade out. That's been very obvious, apparently, across NFL circles right now. So... we'll see what happens there, but like I said, we'll get some thoughts from Trevor Sikkema regarding the trade down on Wednesday.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, Tyler, let's get the depth chart up here. So we're gonna do this, like fill in the potential people that the Chargers could sign going forward as a way to kind of fill in the depth chart. So as you can see right now, there's a lot of red on the Chargers depth chart. I don't know if you want to flip to the defense. There's a lot of red on here. So we have the Puna Ford as well as the Troy Dye signings and Hayden Hurst and things like that. But there's a lot of red missing from the Chargers depth chart right now. We talked a little bit about wide receiver maybe being a position that the Chargers might avoid here going forward. So Tyler, for you, looking at this depth chart, looking at free agency, where's your focus right now? I know initially you said, okay, that's what I was going to ask. So center to me, do you have a guy in mind? There's still a lot of quality free agents available at center, actually.
Honestly, because there's so many, I don't have a particular name, but the easiest one seems to be Bradley Bozeman, given the familiarity, given the experience, given even the flexibility. So, you know, someone gets hurt, I guess you wouldn't switch your center out, but there is flexibility there should anything change, or maybe sign him to a multi-year deal and you need to flip. I don't know. But there's flexibility there, there's familiarity there. He's a solid, fine veteran center who's played a ton of snaps, which is good. Like, you don't want to see, you know, you're not going to get many years out of him, but you don't want to see someone who's been inconsistent with his health. And so far, I think he's been pretty solid there. So I'll type in Bradley Bozeman here, but I don't need to specifically get Bradley Bozeman. I think people in the chat have mentioned several centers too. He just seems like the most natural fit so far.
Yeah, no, definitely a natural fit. He's played in the offense. He's familiar with Joe Ortiz. There is the flexibility, and then he wouldn't count against the compensatory pick. So I do think that the Chargers are going to try and protect their current compensatory picks. The Kenneth Murray pick has moved back up to a fifth round pick for next year. So shout out to those other free agency deals that have happened. And then Gerald Everett slated to give the Chargers a sixth round pick. So I think they're not going to be looking at, you know, the Kenneth Murray AAV is $7.5 million. So they're going to be trying to get players under that number to be able to protect the comp pick. So Bradley Bozeman makes a lot of sense. He checks a lot of boxes there. So I think you can type him in here. The other one that has ties to the team is Mason Cole, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But Bozeman, I think he just checks the most boxes there.
Okay, I will just... I don't know. What color do you want to make this now that we've added them? Blue?
Yeah, sure. It works. Okay, so for me, I still think there's a lot of quality secondary pieces left onto the board. And so I'm curious to get your thoughts here about corner or safety. I know Alohi is currently penciled in as a starting safety, but you can put in Denzel Perryman there for sure. That's totally fine with me. There's a rumored signing going on there anyways. So for me, I'm curious about safety and your thoughts, maybe not necessarily like a Quandre Diggs or like a Justin Simmons, but maybe someone that has kind of slot versatility as well. And so you're looking at like a Julian Blackman from Utah. You're looking at a Micah Hyde. You're looking at a Jayron Kearse. You're looking at maybe for like the fourth straight year, John Johnson. What are your thoughts on maybe bringing in another safety here?
I don't know what they do, man. I think they're going to rock with these three and see what you got. I mean, Dorian Alohi, obviously, are your starters. Like, that's not a question. I don't know if they bring in another one.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, would you? What if you're like to me, it's like somebody who can play the slot.
Sure. Like, if you can bring on Jerome Kearse, sure. I would bring on a someone who is very flexible, who has done plenty of roles. I'd be fine with that. I don't think they are, unless they absolutely are against the JT Woods idea, which I guess I could understand.
Yeah.
But I don't know specifically about that safety here. I'd be more interested in any of the slot or outside corners, whatever name you can bring up.
Okay. Sounds good. I just wanted to get your thoughts there. I think they have money to spend now, obviously, and that would be fun. So I would not be opposed, obviously, to a Julian Blackman signing. He's kind of like the guy that I'm thinking of there because he has that slot safety versatility. He was basically the starting slot corner for the Colts back in 2022. And then this past season, he went back to free safety. So he can play all three supplementary spots. And if you don't love, this is a good draft for a slot corner. But if you just kind of play the board and you don't come away with one, then Blackman can play the slot for you. And I don't think he would cost a lot. So for me, I think you definitely are paying for a corner, as much as I would like to see them double dip in the draft. Like, this room is not very good. There's a lot of talk about how bad the linebacker room is, defensive tackle, wide receiver, whatever. Cornerback is probably just as bad, and we don't even know if Asante Samuel Jr. is a good fit here. So I've seen Stephon Gilmore's name thrown around a lot. I think he probably would sign for over the Kenneth Murray AAV. So I don't know if I want to see them do that. We talked about the ones tied to the Ravens, like Arak Yassin. But I don't believe Steven Nelson would cost more than what they've sent away with Gerald Everett and Kenneth Murray. I think you're looking at like a 1 year, $4 million deal. So I would be in favor of a Steven Nelson signing. He is getting up there in age, but just to somebody who can bring some size and stability to the outside cornerback spot, I would be in favor of Steven Nelson. Not opposed to Akella Witherspoon, who Chargers 4521 pointed out either, but Steven Nelson to me is kind of my preference right now.
Yep, that was the name I was going to bring up. I wanted to consider Gilmore too, because I was looking for, I didn't really consider him before, but considering the Chargers have more cap space now, I'm like, okay, who are the upper tier names? So like Gilmore, Nelson, slightly more expensive than some of the really inexpensive options we had already discussed before. Yeah, I'd be fine with any of those.
Yeah, and he is definitely older, I get it, but he was really solid for the
those Denzel Perryman last year. And Hayden Hurst.
yeah, for sure. So I do kind of think they could double dip here in free agency. So I guess just to see what it would look like, I'm going to type in Steven Nelson here and then maybe like Rock Yassin there.
Sure. And Rock Yassin didn't play a ton of snaps either, so it's not like he...
No, he's a backup player right now.
Yeah, so that'd be perfectly fine. Obviously, the Ravens were at least cool with him, so... Yeah. I definitely could see that. Corner I get. Just make it through the season. Get someone in the draft that's going to be your starter moving forward. Zont will have some role.
Yeah.
I think slot is pretty addressable in the draft as early as round two.
Yeah, I think so too. And then you could, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. is a free agent next year. So you could draft somebody who could play in the slot as a rookie, move outside in his second year, gives you some flexibility. So I think, you know, at wide receiver one and at slot, I think you could put in a rookie and just kind of see where you go from there.
I agree.
We haven't talked a ton about Puna Ford. I think we discussed him a little bit on Thursday night. Do you think he's more of a nose type, or do you think he's more of like a three tech type?
Well, I don't think any of his snaps in the NFL have been much nose so far. So I don't believe
only as a rookie, he played a little bit there.
But yeah.
It's been mostly B gap, C gap kind of work for him.
Yeah. If you're asking me if I've watched the tape on Puna Ford, I have not, but based on his snap counts, no, I don't believe this would be your nose guy. Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if Otito is the starter.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised there either. In terms of nose tackles, I can't remember if it was you or Alex put out a list. It might have been Alex.
It was not me.
Okay, so it was Alex. So Jonathan Hankins is still out there. Adam Butler was just signed. Tyrre Tart is reportedly close to signing with the Bengals, which I would have loved, but he also probably is potentially more expensive than what they're looking at. So yeah, defensive tackle wise, it's getting pretty slim.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like receiver, go play it in the draft. Did Maurice Hurst sign yet? I was resetting with Cleveland. Never mind.
Did somebody point that out?
No, I was Googling it or Twitter X searching it while that was all happening. So Maurice Hurst, not there, unfortunately. Even Jerry Tillery got a contract. So we can't even do that. Chris Wormley,
former Carolina guy, is still available.
Didn't he retire?
Did he?
Oh, he didn't retire. That's right. He just said a big thank you for the years, but not retirement.
I'm trying to look at the list here of potential noses.
Potential noses. Yeah, noses is not a ton.
Not a ton. Man, even like Kyrus Tonga re-signed.
Oof. Did Ashawn Robinson sign?
Yeah, he signed a big contract with the Panthers. It was like $8 million up to $9.5 million per year.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Respect it.
They could bring back Nick Williams. I wouldn't be opposed to that, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I would understand that.
I just saw Charter 4521 pointing that out. Yeah, he's still a free agent. I thought he was fine enough where him and Otito could handle the nose role. I would not be opposed there. You could have some combination of Ogbonia, Williams, Ford, Fox, and a rookie be your active five on game day, and then Scott Matlock is healthy scratch again, unfortunately.
Yeah, this one's a tricky one because it is such a necessity for the Chargers defense, but some group is not going to be great. Like, there are a few groups this year that are not going to be great.
Yeah.
So, and then all the money's gone on these guys.
Yeah. I just want to see something. I just want to like visualize this because I'm a big visual learner. So I just want to see what that looks like.
Oh, well, if we want to start doing this, then we could start doing this. So let's do, yellow for draft pick. Because this makes sense. What round are you taking to Devondre Sweat? Third?
Probably third, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's go to offense. Are we taking a wide receiver in the first round?
I am.
All right. Let's not have the chat dislike our video, so we'll do Malik Nabers. Safety.
Who's your favorite? You're a Virginia guy, Malik Washington, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's awesome. Are you asking me who, what other person I'd double dip at?
Or, yeah,
what,
day two wide receiver.
Oh, day two wide receiver. Okay. Depends on who's there. Polk, Leggett. Have not watched Roman Wilson yet.
Wait, did I say day two? I'm sorry, day three.
Oh, okay. Then that's a whole different thing.
Sorry.
If you're looking for some play action, chuck it up and go get it. Let's go Anthony Gold, the receiver out of Oregon or Oklahoma State? Oregon State.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude can fly. Let's do that. Who is a more viable actual receiver option than Darius Davis? And I don't mean that in any disrespect, but like this guy worked on the, good returner as is. So can provide some help on special teams. Slender guy. But, you can't get a perfect prospect in the back end here. So that's kind of later. Malik Washington would be earlier. Am I blanking on the name that I like? Hold on, I got this, guys.
Malik Washington from Virginia is a lot of fun. I watched him on Wednesday. I would say Malik Washington is a better receiver prospect than Gold is.
That's for sure.
But Gold is, it can be had much later, I think.
Yeah. Anaya Smith, mostly a manufactured touch yak guy. But let's do Malik Washington, because you know what? It doesn't really matter if we do this right or wrong.
This is all for fun anyways.
Yeah. I mean, I would love him in that fourth round pick. Don't know if he gets there. I'd be surprised if he does, because the film's good. The numbers are good. Dominated the Senior Bowl. Like, that's, I don't think he goes that late. But cool.
Okay. You get your Malik Washington, and I get Ben Sinnott at fullback.
Are you going with him as a fullback? Is that what he's being? Because he's a total fullback. Watching him, he's 100% a fullback.
I don't know if he's like technically a fullback, but I think he would be awesome in that like fullback H-back role. Did you type all those T's or was that me?
Oh, you typed in three, so I just made a joke and typed in another.
Yeah, I would be a huge fan of Ben Sinnott. I think he's probably going to be like listed as a tight end, but I think you could have him play that role. Very, very different body types, obviously, but Patrick Ricard did a lot of like tight end, fullback, H-back type of role for Greg Roman. So Ben Sinnott could do that, plus then some. I just didn't want to put like a third tab on here. So I guess technically Ben Sinnott could be your tight end two or three or whatever. I would have him as a starting fullback.
Yeah, as would I. Great. I don't think we've even talked to Ben Sinnott, but I'm all there for sure. The guys are mentioning like wide receivers from Texas. I don't even know if they'll be there at 37. So
Mitchell will not be there at 37.
Yeah,
Mitchell if will the not. Chargers trade down with the Vikings, they could take Mitchell probably at 23. Maybe. Yeah,
that sounds about right. Okay, cool.
Xavier Worthy is kind of, I would say Xavier Worthy has a small chance of being at 37, but I mean, he just broke the 40 record. Like, I'm pretty sure he won't go to the Chiefs because they just signed Hollywood Brown. But
they'll do something sick like that. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and
yeah. Okay, Tyler, I think we do need an offensive line signing of sorts besides Bradley Bozeman or a draft pick. What are your thoughts there?
Yes, if they have a starting set, they gotta draft a center. So now it's the point where you actually have to, like, you know, the bill is due. We have to actually do the smart thing. So, okay, if Sweat is your third rounder, let's say, and Neighbors your first rounder, so we haven't used a second round pick on anyone yet, which that might be Saner still, though.
Yeah, because Sinnott would be your third rounder, Washington, and – or wait.
Sweat would be your
– Sinnott and Washington would be your fourth rounders.
Fourth rounders. Mm-hmm. Sweat would be your third rounder. So in the second round, are you taking a center of the future, even though it's not pretty? Probably. I don't think Bozeman is like a long-term option. I don't even know if they believe that for sure. So that probably, you probably have to take a center in the second round. And I guess everyone's aiming for Frazier at that point.
Yeah. And then Bozeman, I would say if you take Zach Frazier, he's your starter.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean, you're not taking a center in the second round and not having him start.
Yeah.
At 37?
Probably. We'll see what Bozeman's. If Bozeman gets signed, let's see what the contract is. But.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, if that's what you're thinking then, because I'm taking a starter at 37. So that to me is probably a cornerback then, if you're thinking that they would choose Bozeman. So this would be same or still.
Yep. Let's do that. I don't know.
Again, this we're like kind of running through a mock draft right now at this point. but like, I'm not, this team needs a starter at 37. Like, they don't have the flexibility to say, hey, like, yeah, center of the future, sit behind Bradley Bozeman for a year. I think you have to take a starter.
Yeah. No, you're definitely taking a starter at 37. I just feel like no slot corner. I mean, we'll see what they do in free agency, but I think they would go there. Yeah, that doesn't make center super pretty. But if we don't do that, then we're taking a slot corner in round five. And that's a pretty big part of Minter's defense, so kind of just depends.
Yeah, I think you have it on the actual one for what it's worth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well. I think he should go earlier than this, but you know, you never know with centers. Maybe Hunter Norzad falls to the fifth round. That would be great for me because he could also play guard.
Okay, so this would be your late round guard option.
Yeah, late round guard center option.
Good, good, good. Now we're doing the sicko stuff. All right, Hunter. Is it that? Norzad?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, look at that. Cool. That's our, what is this, our potential fifth round pick here?
Yep.
All right.
We can stop rookies there because I'm not great with the sixth and seventh rounders at this point in time.
Don't worry about it. Trent Jones from Michigan. But he played like three games and he played pretty good against those teams in their playoff runs. You know what? There's my random right tackle.
All right.
I think we're good on receiver. We have five.
Somebody did point out that technically Simi Fehoko is on the roster right now, but that to me is kind of like a camp body situation.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot more names on the roster. We're just kind of looking at like starter, primary, backup.
Yeah.
Because in theory, like we could also put for tight end, we could have Donald Parham, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh.
That kind of stuff.
There's more to it than we put on here, obviously, but just for the sake of looking at how to get starters and such. Okay. Can we just pick a random late round receiver to put here so we can just not get this red?
Well, you can put Simi Fehoko there for now.
All right, Simi Fehoko, you did it, buddy. I don't even know if this is a 53 man roster. We don't have specialists up, I guess.
No, I mean this is like 40. This isn't even 40. This is 12, 24. Yeah, this is like 48 essentially.
Cool. Mason McCormick definitely would not be opposed if the Chargers did that. But
yeah, we took him in the Chargers mock draft because he can play guard center for you as well. I would like to see them sign somebody besides Bozeman at offensive line, but I think for this exercise, this works.
How much do you think they believe in Brendan Hymus as a backup?
As a backup? I don't know. Like if you can draft a guy who could play both spots and sign a guy who could play both spots, I'm fine with Brendan Hymus staying on the roster. But him being like outright center two, I would be very uncomfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I thought there was a pretty, like, I know that people were excited about him. I thought there was a pretty clear drop off from Will Clapp to Brendan Hymus.
I cannot say that I watched the last three games of the season over and over again and specifically watched Brendan Hymus, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Roger Rosengarten from Demetrius Jones. He's a good player. I think he probably has worked himself into like fourth round range, which they could still pick him, but yeah. Oh yeah, we didn't put a running back in this instance.
That's okay. We have another seventh round pick, and I'm gonna go with Isaiah Davis from South Dakota State. Big guy. Edwards and Davis, we ain't catching the football, but we are running it.
Yeah.
We are going to run this football.
And Spiller's like 6 feet tall, isn't he? I think that would be like the tallest running back room in the league.
Is it? I don't know. Where's Derrick Henry? The Ravens? That makes it a tall one.
LD Bruin says McFadden looked good as Zion's replacement. I will push back very strongly on that statement.
He played well the first game, and everyone's like, yeah. And then whatever the second game was, it was like, oh.
It was brutal. Was it the Chiefs game? I think it was like seven or eight pressures against the Chiefs, yeah. Granted, he was still very much trying to get that last sack, but
yeah,
the Chiefs game was brutal.
Yeah. Ike boy, whatever it is, you misspelled Ray Davis. I get it. I think Ray Davis goes earlier. So Isaiah Davis is like your sixth, seventh rounder. Mighty, I hope he doesn't take Blake Corum, buddy.
Yeah, because they got to take him in like maybe even the second round.
Yeah.
And again, this is not even a mock draft. This is like literally us off the top of the dome, just like filling in the chart.
So, and we did it. This is a Super Bowl contender, guys. We did it. As long as we have Herbert, we're good. We have not a single ounce of prayer or hope for a strong receiving tight end room. But yeah.
I think you're just in this instance, you're literally just like platooning the receiving role between Sanat, Hurst, and Parham. Like, they're all kind of different receivers. Like, Hurst can play a little bit in the slot. Parham is still very good over the middle. Sanat kind of is your like your flats, and you know, he is fast. He can maybe do some vertical stuff too. But yeah, linebacker room, yes, very rough in this instance. This is probably again showing why the Chargers should trade down if they can and be able to
right.
pick, you know, if they can pick two first rounders here, that would, yeah, that would help tremendously here.
Yeah, perfectly said, Josue. This roster makes me want to trade back. That's the thing. Like, when you sit and look at the roster and you're like, all right, here it is. Trading back does sound more enticing. Well, we just had a bit of an argument about, not argument, debate over Sandristil or another center of the future. Trade back and pick a second round pickup. You got both. Or you take another, you know, defensive tackle in the second round and a corner in the third or whatever. Center of the future, take McCormick in the third round. Because it's a pretty good class. Having less picks in this class does not make me excited. But yeah. You trade away Keenan Allen, you cut Mike Williams, you're basically taking a receiver at five.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, just real quick, if we want to run through this. So, let's say they do trade down. Let's say they take Adonai Mitchell with their second first round pick. And then let's say they take Terrion Arnold with their first round pick. And I'm going to put him in the slot just for now. And then they could take Chris Jenkins with their third round pick, for example, or actually let's leave Tavondre Sweat there. And then I'm going to put in Junior Colson at linebacker. Again, completely off the top of the dome right here. And then Denzel Perryman is your linebacker three of sorts instead of your linebacker. Or I guess that would be down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, down would be three.
All right. Again, just like a little trade back off the top of the dome right there. What do we think?
So this is for 11 and 23.
Yeah.
So you get Arnold and Mitchell?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Instead of just neighbors, you get Arnold and Mitchell.
Yeah. I think it. Obviously, you have to hope the picks pan out.
Right, but, right.
Yeah, no, that's... I'm in favor. I mean, any combination, you do Jackson Powers, Johnson, Mitchell, you do Arnold, Jackson Powers, Johnson, you do Arnold, Brian Thomas Jr., whatever. Like I am leaning that way as attached to Malik Nabers as I am.
Yeah.
But getting three picks in the first 37 and obviously two in the top 25 would be pretty good. Pretty, and heck, at 11, technically it's a possibility Brock Bowers is also there.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Brock Bowers,
it's all about, and maybe Bowers is at 10. That would be very painful to me. Cause like, to me, like trading down for Bowers is probably my second preferred outcome. So if he goes at 10, I would be very upset at that. But you know, at the end of the day, you could be, it's all about weighing like costs and like the potential here, right? Cause you could get, I think Terrion Arnold is a blue chip corner. I understand if you don't, he's still a first round corner. You can get your future CB1 and still get your future wide receiver one in the same draft. Like, that's pretty enticing, man.
This is the show where I type something and I don't say anything. Sorry.
You're good. You're good. Yeah. Blake Watson, I'm a fan of his as well. There's the running back from New Hampshire. That's like
Lob.
Yeah. Supposedly he's like Danny Woodhead Jr. or whatever.
Okay, sure. I don't know why that randomly makes sense to me. Okay, I can see
it's
that
just
now.
I think that's just the comparison I've seen the most thrown out for him.
Okay, I actually buy that, yeah.
Yeah. So I said we were going to take some questions. I think we're kind of out of time, but we kind of did. We kind of looked at some stuff earlier and took some chats. So yeah, hopefully you guys enjoyed the conversation. The Chargers have space to spend. Like we said earlier, I just think they are going to try and protect those comp picks for next year. And we'll see kind of what happens over the next couple of days. So hopefully they can sign a Denzel Perryman. Hopefully they can sign, you know, Bradley Bozeman, and then we'll see how it goes next week. Cause next week is kind of like the second week of free agency, second wave. So they should be pretty active next week, I think.
Yeah. Hopefully they have to be.
Hopefully
all the free space for nothing would be a story. That's for sure.
Yeah. 100%. All right, Tyler, any other thoughts here before we close out for the day?
Last one, just more of a putting it out there in the universe. Robert says he heard the first four picks are going to be quarterbacks. Great. Hope they are.
Perfect.
That'd be very unifying.
Five. It'd be really fun.
Mm-hmm. No question there.
Yeah, it is kind of a growing sentiment around draft analysts that even if it's not 1 through 4, it could be 1, 2, 3, and 5. So there's a lot of buzz out there about JJ McCarthy, about all these other quarterbacks. Obviously, somebody could always fall. There was in 2021, there was a lot of buzz that quarterbacks could go 1 through 4 or 4 in the first 5. And then Justin Fields fell to number 11, which is really crazy looking at that draft class now with hindsight. And same thing with 2022.
Yeah, 2021, all that hype and discussion. And Lawrence being the best of the group is not a surprise, but it's a very low bar. And then last year, 2022's class, not great. And then 2023, thank goodness for CJ Stroud. Richardson was almost the other guy.
He looked really good in his
limited
action. Even Will Levis, who fell, also looked pretty good. So,
yeah.
But nothing since 2020 has even come close, because 2020, man, potentially the best quarterback class ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Never seen a 1 through 5 pan out like that. Like, we talk about, like, obviously the 2004 class right now is better. The longevity is there. The Super Bowls are there.
Yeah.
But that is still 1 through 3. For the first 5 to all work out, I think first 5.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love would be, well, you have Burrow and Herbert at 1 and 2 in some order. But then you have Tua, you have Jordan Love, you have Jalen Hurts. And that's a great quarterback class.
Yeah.
L.A. Marino Kelly, obviously very good as well, for sure.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, there are better trios for sure. Like, I don't think even this, Burrow, Herbert, Tua, I don't think they're going to match the 0-4 trio or the Elway trio.
Yeah.
But it's the 4 and 5 that are pretty impressive.
Yeah, and when all is said and done, I think Jordan Love ends up as the third best from this class, personally. But,
see.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Jason Ballier, is going to be very happy about that take, so. Loves Jordan Love.
Because he's still listening for sure.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be live again on Tuesday night. And then, as we've said a couple of times now, Trevor Sikkema will be joining us on the Chargers channel on Wednesday. So going to be a fun week again. Next week, we'll have the second wave of free agency covered. We'll have some other things covered draft-wise as well. So going to be a fun week ahead. Much more fun than the end of this week for sure. Appreciate you guys for tuning in today. Appreciate the super chats, conversations, all that good stuff. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, leave a rating review, tell a friend. All does really help continue to grow the show. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you next time. As always, bolt up.